Welcome to Game Study Hall. Hide your DS in a book and act like you're working.
It's Game Study Hall.
Tonight on the Dan and Guy Power Hour.
So I'm actually super excited. Someone at a Frisbee game the other day was telling me that MoviePass is now $10 a month.
What is MoviePass?
So you pay $10 a month and you can see a movie in the theater every day for that month.
One movie.
A day, yeah. So like, you know how a movie takes like $12, $12.50?
Yeah.
This is essentially making it 33 cents. Right? If you go every day.
So, what's to stop a hobo from getting movie pass and just living in a movie theater?
Well, because there's only one movie. You only get...
Yeah, but, like, you don't think they could try to, like, I don't know, pick a really long movie and just sleep in it? I mean, think about it like this, then. Let's even just say, let's say they get, like, they get to the movie early, and then they leave late, so they get 3 hours. That's 3 hours of just sleeping in a nice warm room.
Well, movie theaters are
cold. At that
point. Also,
I always sweat when I'm in a movie theater.
Movie theaters are, and people go there like in the summer when it's...
My point is, I'm pretty sure, you know, that comboed with whatever cardboard box they live in would be more than enough to like...
Well, I mean, it's also not comfortable, but also...
So the last movie theater I went to had, like, recliners that were, like...
Oh, yeah, I actually...
Motorized recliners, and there was assigned seating.
Actually, there's, yeah, the one I went to where you'd, like, order food to your, like, your area. First of all, they don't, like, have an... If they're homeless, they don't have an address, and they probably don't have $10 or a credit card to buy MoviePass, or even a computer or smartphone to sign up with. But also, I'm not sure why that would be a problem.
Because movie theaters don't want hobos in their...
I mean, these are human beings, Guy.
They're also hobos.
Yeah, but I'm not trying
I'm
to condemn people
I think,
to, like... Also,
I'm
they can enjoy
this has
movies,
the potential,
too.
This has the potential for a hobo problem. That's all I'm saying.
No, I mean, it really doesn't. But also, I don't think... I barely know how to respond to this. But anyway, I'm very excited because
you have no job and you're going to become a hobo.
And I also love going to the movies on a more positive note, but yes, I have no job and going
because
to
you
hobo.
Wanted to hobo.
Oh my god. I'm so close to hobo.
Yes, I called it.
Yeah. Anyway, what are you going to...
I can't believe I called that.
You know, if nothing else will send me into hobodom, it will be I started playing Counter-Strike again.
Oh man, you're getting ready to go back to college.
I spent almost all of freshman year playing Counter-Strike. Yeah, oh my god. I played 30 hours this week.
Okay.
That is a lot.
Wow, wait, what? That's a lot of...
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
That's a lot of Counter-Strike.
Okay, so you know what the moment when I realized that I have a problem? So
when you're like, oh wow, I've only been playing for an hour, and then you realized, oh wait, 25 hours have passed.
So I used to play in college. I was never great, but I was good. Like, I was above average in college. And then, you know, I stopped playing for a long time, and when Global Offensive came out, I started playing that. I was like, wow, man, I've gotten bad at this game. And then, you know, I'd pick it up every, you know, like, once a month, twice a month, play a little bit, and like, oh man, I'm bad, and like, move on. Yesterday I was playing, and I was like, oh no, I'm good again. I've played so much, I got back
got
into
good.
Being, yeah, which means I played, I accidentally forgot to cancel my Humble Monthly Bundle, so I played some Killing Floor 2, because I now own it, and a bunch of other games that I don't even know what I got, because I didn't intend to... Oh, no, I did get... Actually, there's just one game that I'm really mad at. It's not very... Because, like, I read the description, and it sounded like the greatest thing ever. Eternium. It's supposed to be, like, an old-school first-person, like, space flight game. And it is... I mean, I only played it for 5 minutes, because I was so annoyed with it, but maybe I misunderstood it.
Also, So I got the expansion to Terraforming Mars, the board game.
What is the expansion?
It's kind of a smaller expansion. It just adds two new boards you can play on.
Okay.
And then the two new boards have different, obviously, like, layouts of, like, where you can put the oceans, what placement bonuses you get. And then they have different awards and milestones, which are kind of like the, you know, you can get 5 points if you can satisfy these, only 3 of the 5, and then the end game point things. And you don't think that would, like, make much of a difference. It's, you know,
yeah, I was about to say, it, except for, it's one of those things the, where, the
because the awards are different and milestones are different, yeah, it goes, like, it actually changes a ton. You know, corporations that were crazy broken are no longer that overpowered because you can't just, like, oh, second turn mayor. There's no reason to second turn get your third city. But then, you know, there's, get 3 Jupiter tags.
I really want to play more Terraform Mars.
Yeah. Once you, come back to school.
Yeah. You know, if I had a phone, I would, probably get the ball rolling on that.
Wait, so what happened to your phone?
So, it's actually kind of hilarious in how awful it is. So, I broke my other phone, and switched to, and, like, got a new phone, switched. And then we switched mobile carriers, and Verizon locks their phone so that you can't switch carriers.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, which is illegal.
All of them do that.
No, well, not, like, anymore. It's illegal. You can't.
No, Becky had an AT&T phone, and then when she switched to Verizon, we had to get a Verizon phone.
Right.
And that was actually why we switched, because, you know, her AT&T phone got a crack in it.
So, right, so, companies used to do this, and they outlawed it, because it's super fucked up. But old phones aren't grandfathered in, and my Galaxy S5 is one of those phones.
Yeah, she had a Galaxy S5.
Yeah, so Verizon, I went to the Verizon store, I'm like, hey, you know, I have this SIM, you know, I switched to T-Mobile, my SIM card's not working, they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, you gotta call customer service. Go, yeah, my SIM card doesn't work, can't make a phone call. Like, okay, call customer service. Go, SIM card's still broken, you gotta
couldn't
fix
this. Couldn't you just ask to use, why don't you say, hey, can I use your phone?
I did say that, they're like, yeah, you gotta call customer service, and I was clearly just being like, yo, fuck you, you're not a Verizon customer. I was like, why do you care? You work in the Verizon store. You're not getting paid any more or less based on who subscribes. Just let me use the goddamn phone. But yeah, so I have not had a phone in 2 weeks, so I ordered a new phone to replace my old new phone. So whenever the hell that shows up, I will call UB. But you know what's fucking weird is I never make phone calls. And then the minute I don't have the ability to do so, suddenly I realize just how stranded I am when
yeah,
I need that.
I mean, can't you just use your, like, roommate's phone?
My roommate just moved out. It's the beginning of September.
Why would he move out at the beginning of September?
Oh, September 1st is the moving day for all of Boston.
Oh.
Have I never told you about this? It's...
No. What is it, like, Musical Chairs Day?
Pretty much, actually.
Why?
No
oh,
one knows.
Oh, is it
knows.
Just like all the leases place? Yeah. They don't do month-to-month, they all do yearly, and then just over time, they all kind of synced up their move-in, move-out day until everyone was synced up?
I'm not sure why it's all on the same day, but yeah, everyone's leases on a year, and 90% of the population is September 1st.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't want to be that guy that does a August to August, because no one's going to want to rent your property, because...
Right, because everyone else's place is...
Your options are either if you want to be year-long, you have to do September 1st, or...
Right, but anyway, the point being, though, it's a massive move-in day. I've managed to avoid it more or less by, like, moving all my stuff a few days early, just, like, into storage of whatever apartment I'm moving in, or... Because every place I've moved into lately has been, like, someone pulling me in. They've been there a while, and they're just, like, pulling a new roommate. So it's less hectic, because it's not, like, an entire changeover. But it, certain parts of Boston, it can become quite a party. There's, one of the, like, highways, there's, a bridge that's much smaller than people realize. So people always place bets on who's going to get their U-Haul stuck first.
Oh, my.
Yeah. It pretty much happens every year. But it also leads to Austin Christmas, which is because there's so many people moving, everyone's just throwing stuff on the curb to, you know, for someone to take.
Yeah, throw it out.
Yeah, so you ever need anything, you just, like, just go through parts of Austin.
So if you're a hobo, then you can...
I mean, I put out my computer last year, my old college PCs. Like, it wasn't a great computer, and it didn't have a hard drive in it, but, you know, it had RAM and stuff.
Congratulations, you're a hobo.
I mean, no, I put it out.
So you gave back to the hobo community?
Yeah, exactly. It's my brethren. But no, I mean, especially too, because whoever's moving, you suddenly realize, like, oh man, I have more stuff than I can even move. Like, I just need to get rid of this.
I moved a two-story house from Long Island up into storage in Buffalo, and then from storage in Buffalo into a house.
Right, you moved a house to a house. Now, yes. Imagine being one person.
No, I moved a house to storage, and then storage to a house, because there was the 6 months when we moved out, but we were living with the O'Connors.
Okay, but now imagine you're one person, you live in a, you just have a room in an apartment, and then...
That's trivially easy to move. I would get, well, probably, what, the 22-foot U-Haul?
Right, you should say that, but then you remember that everyone's moving at the same time, so good luck getting that U-Haul.
Yeah, you don't reserve your U-Hauls ahead of time?
If you thought you had less stuff than you did...
I know how much stuff I have, because I've moved multiple times in the last, like, 10 years. And so I know which U-Haul to reserve. Yeah. Like, for instance, I was going to get the 26-footer when we were moving from Long Island to Buffalo. My father's like, oh, you only need a 15-footer. I'm like, Dad, I'm going to need two 26-footers in order to do this. And he's like, no, you could do it all in one 15. I'm like, no, I need two 26s. So I got one 15 to humor him, and then I ended up having to get a 26-footer and another 15 just to make up for it. So I ended up having to do three trips. Two 15s, one 26.
From Long Island to Buffalo?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I told him, hey, you know, if I had gotten a 26...
But you're the one who suffered. He didn't. So who are you showing besides yourself?
Well, I mean, he drove along with me in a large SUV. So it was like, oh, I guess you did have more. I'm like, yeah, I told you.
I actually discovered it turns out I own Sonic Mania.
Oh, nice. Isn't it great?
Well, no, so I haven't gotten to play. I just found out today. Because I was doing something, and I was mentioning it to my friend. And I was typing. I was debating. I was going to buy it. And it was, like, in library. I was like, what?
Oh, did you pre-order it?
No, I think I... So I got a key code from work that was a bunch of games. And it must also be retroactive. So, like, Sega games that get released. Because I also know, so I started doing some digging, and I realized I also have Dawn of War 3, which I definitely didn't buy. So it must be retroactively adding games to my library.
Nice.
Yeah, it's not a bad perk.
And they just forgot to take this perk off your library when you...
Well, no, it was like a Steam key of a bunch of games. And that key
included
right,
future games.
Yeah, right. I guess it includes future games. Which, I mean, it doesn't... You know, now that it's happening, I realize it kind of makes sense. Because it's probably just the developer key code for Sega. So, I get all these weird Sega games. You know, there's a... On Steam, there is a Sega, like, Genesis games collection that also has some Master System games. But the format is you actually, like, peruse a shelf of games and, like, take and then, like, select one, and it pulls it off the shelf and, like, puts it in the console. And
well, then how else are you going to play a game? Through emulation and modern day software? No, you take it off the shelf, you put it into your system.
I don't know.
Now, sometimes it's just an abstraction for modern day software and emulation, but you know.
I don't know, it was... I could totally see the sentiment, and I don't disagree with it, but in practice, it actually feels really weird. It's kind of like the Uncanny Valley, where, like, if something gets a little too real, it suddenly becomes glaring. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's like when, you know, when it is just being played in Steam, you just kind of... It feels like, yeah, it's just Steam, but then once it gets a little too close... Okay, so there's a new patch out for World of Warcraft, and it has Argus.
So, okay, wait. Like, so you briefly mentioned this before. Okay, what expansion
Burning
is WoW?
Burning Legion, Homeworld, Legion.
And what is Argus? And Argus is the homeworld of the Burning Legion.
Yes. And that it was always kind of, you know, assumed or suggested that would be its own expansion. And nope, it's just a patch in Legion. Whole new world, new stuff.
I don't...
It's a very big patch. I'm thoroughly impressed.
Oh, this is a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess I just... I'm so far removed from WoW at this point that I don't even... Like, my frame of reference for even what you're talking about is slipping. I barely remember who the Burning Legion are.
They're the bad guys.
Are they? You know, in my eyes, the other faction insert here are the bad guys.
Well, that's good, because the recent books written actually retconned it, so Sargeras wasn't a bad guy. He was just misunderstood.
He's the head of the... He's the warlock that's the head of the Burning Legion?
No, that's,
It's Gul'dan.
The warlock that summoned them was Gul'dan, yeah, no. Sargeras was, like, the Dark Titan.
Oh, he's that big red guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Except, no, he did nothing wrong.
I mean, before the retcon, what did he do?
He killed all the other Titans and started the Burning Legion.
The other demon Titans?
No, the good Titans. Godly Titans.
Good Titans? Who?
Yeah, the ones that created everything. Like, what were their names?
Yeah. Do we know? I mean, do you know? Is that like a thing?
Thule and...
Oh, I mean, they're just like random god names. They're not
exactly.
They weren't like... Oh, right, because they'd all be dead? When did he kill them?
Countless years before anything ever was relevant.
So it's the Burning Legion's older than the Horde?
The Burning Legion is older than Azeroth.
Who is even in the... I thought they were like orcs, weren't they?
No. Burning Legion are the demons.
Oh, they're the demons, right. Okay. You know what? I will say this. D&D has really ruined me for a lot of fantasy stuff. Because, like, in D&D, like, demons and the undead are... Well, at least in earlier editions, they've since changed that, and I think it's a good change. But in earlier editions, they were inherently evil, like, by their nature, and... Like, undeniably.
Okay.
Well,
what's
I'm just,
wrong with that?
I'm just saying, like, years of playing D&D, it's just been like, oh yeah, he's a demon, clearly he's bad, but like, that's insane.
That's not. Trusting demons any year?
I mean, wait, what, any year? What?
You would trust a demon?
Why not? Why? I mean, over anyone else?
I wouldn't trust a demon.
But I mean, this was like, what makes it? What's the difference between a demon and any other fantasy creature?
Demons are evil.
Right. That's the only. I mean, this is the whole Mordor argument all over again, right?
What Mordor argument?
The whole thing that like, the only things we know about Sauron and Mordor are told by their enemies.
They're evil.
Right. We're told that by their enemies.
I guess you can make that argument, but.
Well, no, I'm like, that's not even an argument. Like, that's just, the Lord of the Rings is written from the point of view of people at war with Sauron, right?
Yeah.
Right, so everything we know is told from that point of view.
But if they weren't evil, why did they do all that evil stuff?
What evil stuff did they do?
I don't know, didn't they send a bunch of orcs to go attack humans?
I don't, not in the Lord of the Rings. So I know the Silmarillion goes and do a bunch of this, but because it's not in the trilogy, it doesn't count.
Well, actually, since the Silmarillion was written last, wouldn't that make it the most canonical?
Well, no, I thought it... I mean, it's not considered canon. I mean, it's not considered...
I thought it was like an extended appendix, basically.
Is it? I'm not... Yeah, I mean, I'm not super into my, like, Tolkien stuff.
Yeah, but it... My cursory glance understanding is that it was kind of like the appendix for the world he created.
Okay, then if it is canon, then undoes everything that I think about the universe. But still, my out-of-context point still stands.
I get what you're going at. This is the unreliable narrator thing. Like, can we really trust that, Mario is good and Bowser's evil? maybe Mario is just a spurned suitor and Peach chose Bowser, that sort of thing.
This is like the third time this has come up in as many episodes.
Yeah.
Although, I will, like, the unreliable narrator thing is so good. There's a...
Well, it's because it's underused, so when you see it, it's like, oh, wow, that's rare.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, looking back to, I was talking to someone about Memento recently, the Christopher Nolan film, starring Guy Pearce. Have you seen it?
No.
It's the one where he can't make new memories, and the movie is told in two perspectives, one in reverse, one in real time. And so he had an accident where he suffered physical brain damage and was unable to make new memories after that event. So yeah. He gets tattoos on his body of, like, notes to himself because he's trying to hunt his wife's killer.
Why not just write stuff in a book?
Because someone could take the book.
Hey,
okay. No, he does go into it. It's very interesting. It's a very good film. Christopher Nolan's, like, first major film, and I also think it's one of his best. It's very well done. Guy Pearce does a great job in it. And it's very... Yeah, it's a very good mystery, and unlike other mysteries, it's also a very satisfying mystery, where, like, the ending makes sense, and you can believe it, and it wraps it up without being like, oh, I don't, like, how did that, you know, where, like, it doesn't, there's no, like, weird MacGuffin that just, like, changes everything, which I think is pretty rare for, like, you know, like, most mysteries, I feel like, rely on some sort of turn that you couldn't have known.
Well, I feel like this is, and I was having this discussion, it's like the mark of a well-written mystery is that it actually is logical. And I feel like this is, and it's, the problem is a good writer can write that, but a bad writer, they will basically, it's really, if it's written by people that don't understand logic and don't know how logic is, they'll just write the magic thing like, oh, and then they magic do the answer, because from their logical point of view, who doesn't understand logic, they just think logic's magic. Like, some people are just magic, and they can just see the future, that sort of thing.
Whereas, or, like, if you're someone, you've watched a lot of mysteries, and you were never able to follow along, you would then assume
that, it's just, they're just magic. Like... They just magicked their way through that.
Actually, that's something I never thought about, but, like, even if it was just coincidental that you, like, never were able to solve mysteries, that if you were then to later go write mysteries...
Yeah, you would just assume and then the surprise ending happens. No. That's not how mysteries work.
That's actually a really interesting comment about genre in general, right? Because to that person, the mystery genre is a very different thing.
Yes, to them, it's the surprise ending genre.
That's really interesting. I'm intrigued, but I can't think of what I could do with this information. But where was I going with this? Something Memento, fuck, what was I talking about? How did I get on Memento?
I guess you should have tattooed it on your arm.
And, you know, I think it's actually one of the more annoying things about, like, recording this, is I can't, like... I know it's recorded, and I could just go back and listen to, like, oh, what was I talking about? But I can't stop the recording to do that?
Yeah.
So, like, the information I need is so close at hand, and yet, so far.
It might as well not exist, because of how far away it is.
Do you really not remember what I was talking about?
Nah.
Am I going to edit through this whole thing of just me being confused? Okay. Memento.
Oh, you're talking about Christopher Nolan?
Oh, films? Unreliable narrators.
Right,
because Memento it's about an unreliable narrator. He cannot make memories, so how can you trust anything he says? It's very interesting, it's very well done. But, like, most things, you know, if you really start thinking about it, though, most stuff we, you know, media we consume is inherently assumed reliable narrator, even when we have no evidence of that, right? Right, you know, like, Lord of the Rings, you're saying, like, yeah, Sauron's evil, because we're trusting that, you know, the point of view that we're following is not lying to us, or at the very least not, you know, confused. They might just not know, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the characters we follow, none of them were around for any of the events.
No, Gandalf was.
But we never follow his... No, we do follow his point of view a little bit, don't we?
Yeah.
But for a majority of the book, though, it's not from his point of view. And he's being purposely obtuse about a lot of the information.
Well, yeah, it's because he's, like, basically an angel or something, right?
He's a demigod?
Yeah. I mean,
he's some, like, higher being of some kind.
It's explained in the Cimmerillion. Yeah. Like, there was, like, five of them. And
Melkor or something, right? Morgoth? People have tried to explain this to me. I've asked more than one person about this because I'm vaguely interested in it.
I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I do spend enough time driving. I probably should get the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit and the Cimmerillion audiobooks.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I did not enjoy those books.
I think I was too young when I read them.
Oh, I was definitely too... In a general sense, I was definitely too young. I read those in the second and third grade.
Oh, I read them in, like, the seventh and eighth grade.
Yeah, I got sent to the principal's office for reading The Fellowship of the Rings.
Why?
Oh, because my teacher was like, oh, this is above your reading level and blah, blah, but I refused to read a different book. Young me, like adult me, is extremely stubborn. And when people's like,
now I'm going to read it twice as hard.
Yeah. But, well, my teacher's like, it's reading time, everyone get out a book. And I was like, okay, well, here's my book. You know, I'm going to read my book. And they're like, no, you got to read a real book.
How's that not a real book?
Right, exactly. It was a whole big thing sent to the principal. Obviously, I won that argument. But for me, yeah, I was definitely too young. In the grand scheme of things, I was too young to have read it and, like, really gotten much out of it. But as an adult, I have no interest in them. You know, I've seen the movies. Like, I remember the books well enough for, like, a plot synopsis. And I've seen the movies, and, like, none of it. Because, you know, it's, like, the precursor to a lot of fantasy.
Yeah.
All of that fantasy does it so much better. Where, like, it's this weird,
Well, it's one of those things, like, you say it does it better, but it was the first one.
This gets you, like, a really interesting thing about, like, being first and what that really means. Where a lot of things are in the zeitgeist, right? Where, like, someone's going to do it, and it just so happens that, like, this thing was first, or this was, like, a catalyst. It was all the people who then made later works, you know, yes, inspired by Tolkien, and yes, have a lot, like, owe a lot to that, they still would have made interesting work. It's just the format is what, like, you know, is offered to Tolkien as, like, reference. But whether or not that's true, and yes, there is an importance to Tolkien, I'm not denying that at all.
No, I see what you're saying. It's the, because it did it first, it might not necessarily be the best in the absolute sense, but it's, like...
I think it's totally important to talk about.
Yeah, but, like, in terms of absolute...
I think it's very important to talk about and, like, understand, and, you know, yeah, probably read it in some, you know, some of it. Like, not the smart notes, but, like, the, you know, like, let's analyze some chapters sort of thing. Because the books are also not, like, it's a pretty long trilogy to not enjoy it, right? You know, if you enjoy it, then, like, you know, excellent. Obviously, read it as much as you want. But to read it just for, like, its historical reasons, I think that could be a slog. But my point being, though, like, I was watching a video today about, and I wish I had saved a link to it. I'll try to dig it up. But it was, like, five games that we should be talking about that, like, we aren't. And it was, like, you know, the first-person shooter and the first platformer and the first this and the first that. I mean, they're all, like, games that you wouldn't think of. You know, like, the game
well,
that
I guess.
Is
okay,
Pong
the first
before
platformer.
Pong.
Is it Pitfall?
No, it's this weird... Actually, it wasn't the first platformer. It was the first 3D platformer. Which is, like...
First 3D platformer. Bubsy 3D?
I think... So, he did mention Bubsy 3D. But, he mentioned... So, he mentioned in passing as sort of the, like, this is what you would think it is. But it's actually this other weird game that was, like, predated the Atari.
Oh.
So there was this really interesting game. It was technically third person, and it was, like, this weird, you know, a bunch of polygons. And, you know, it's, you don't control the jumping, but you still jump, and it's really, like, weird and interesting. And obviously it's not even close to the best, but it is, like, the precursor, you know, like, Wolfenstein and Doom to first-person shooters and stuff like that. But apparently there's a game also pre-Atari era that was first-person. You walk around a labyrinth. It's two players. You walk around a labyrinth trying to shoot each other. And it's not just the first-person game. It's, like, one of the first games. It's the first game to ever have a mini-map in addition to the on-screen display.
Yeah.
I've got to find this video, cause, like, now that I summoned this into existence. But, yeah, it was really interesting. But, and, you know, in bringing it back to Tolkien, you can't, no art will ever be made in a vacuum, right? Everything is pulling in references from other things and, like, other people's contemporaries and the people that inspire them. And obviously it's important to talk about these things and understand them and kind of, you know, analyze this stuff. I don't think it's as important to... I guess I'm saying you don't have to read Lord of the Rings if you don't want to. And it's okay that it's not good. Like, that's not saying it's not important. I guess I'm just trying to defend myself for my opinion of not liking Lord of the Rings.
Before the 5 people that listen to our podcast get angry and stop listening.
So, I was talking to a friend of mine who, well, like, someone else I organized my Frisbee group with. And it turns out they do a musical theater podcast. And I was like, oh, you know, that's really cool. Actually, you know, I do this video game thing. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. And you know, you can tell that someone just doesn't care what you're about to say.
Yeah.
But I carried on anyway.
Oh.
But yeah, she's like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, great. I'm like, yeah, well, we've been doing it a while. You know, we really enjoy it. I'm kind of curious what your, what your system is. Cause, we just do this however we feel like, right? Like, we don't have a format. We don't have, like, fancy recording devices or anything. Although I've been super considering getting a nicer, like, mic on, like, arms. Because I also want one for my, monitors. Like, I want a third monitor that's on a, like...
You don't want the arm monitors. Those are a meme.
Well, no, because I want a third monitor that I can point in 270 degrees. Like, this would just be, like, my watching TV monitor.
Oh, I get it. So when you're sitting on a, like, your bed or something, you turn it to face you, and then...
Or, like, it wouldn't be... Yeah, right, it would just be my extra monitor that would be... Yeah. So I didn't have to, like, move my good monitors. But also, my room layout is perfect for it. Because my desk is in this weird alcove that, like, is just big enough for my desk. So it has exactly the right... Like, I have this cube wall that... I also just really want a third monitor. Because there's so many times I'm trying to do something or work on something, and I just need to look at one more thing. And I don't want to have to keep tabbing through. Because if I have, like, 8,000 tabs open, I have to make sure I go to the right one. Like, what's your system, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, yeah, I call my sister, and she does everything else. I'm like... Oh, okay, cool. You know, like, are you guys trying to get listeners? You know, like, what are you doing? Like, you know, I do this with my friend. We just kind of do whatever. And she's like, oh, yeah, no, I don't know. She handles all that. I'm like, all right. Backing away slowly. I thought, for a brief moment, I thought I might be able to get, like, a little podcast network going. Because there was a, in that conversation, I also found out, it turns out, someone else that we both know used to do a narrative podcast and wants to start doing it again, but the person he does it with, like, moved out west. But if, you know, because we proved it doing it over Skype.
Yeah.
Encourage him to start doing his again, and then that makes 3, get a little podcast network going. Pretty fun. It would make live shows really interesting, but they did not care. Kind of made me laugh, but it was also kind of sad. I don't know, I've been on, like, another kick where I'm trying to slowly just to work through all these games I own, just as, like, a point of reference. Especially, like, you know, trying to make games, the more games you play, the more things you have to, like, pull from and, like, you'll learn from and understand. And I end up playing the same things, right? I go back to Counter-Strike, and I go back to FTL. I've been trying to play Fallout, and I am just... So I have Fallout 1, 3, and New Vegas all installed on my computer. I played a little Fallout, and it was kind of a struggle, but I was kind of enjoying it. And then I got distracted, started playing Fallout 3. Then I accidentally bought Fallout New Vegas, because I'm dumb. Like, I logged into Steam, it's like, oh, Fallout New Vegas is on sale for $250, and I bought it. And I installed it, and then I started playing, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. I don't like this game. But, so I installed some mods, hoping that would make it a little better. It's not a bad game. Like, I enjoyed it the first time I played it, but I have no desire to go back around. And I got Dishonored, and I'm bad at stealth games, so that's been a... Although I did play Dawn of War 3 for like 3 hours last night and ended up going to bed at like 6 in the morning. I started playing the first match. I'm like, well, I kind of fucked up there. I'll do one more. And I was like, oh, it's kind of late, but I'm already in the middle of this one. And then that one ended. I was like, I could do that faster. So I started a third match, forgetting how late it was. And I was halfway through. I was like, oh, it's 5:30. Like, well, I might as well just finish this. I'm already at this point. Like,
I had one really big game of Civ 5, and then I tried to do multiplayer, but that was way back before they, like, made it good.
It's still not great. It is way better, but it is still not good. I played 1v1 against one of my ex-girlfriends, and she thought she was doing great. You know, but we were on Skype the whole time, just, like, having a normal conversation. And she's like, ha, I see your boat. What do you think you're doing? And so she sent some destroyers out to, like, fight my boat. And then that's when she learned that I had blockaded her entire island. And then we got, like, a real-life fight. Because I had surrounded her entire civilization with just, like, destroyers or something.
Thus preventing her from actually expanding out.
Oh, yeah, no, she was... I explore as early as possible, and when I found out I was on an island, I suspected, because we did random map, when I was on an island, I suspected we might be playing an island map, so I rushed to boats, and then I just found her, and then I surrounded her. Did not go well.
I mean, it seems like it did. You won.
Oh, it went well for me. It didn't go well for her. You know, well, actually, no, it did go well for her, because she got conquered, which means she got to join the good empire. It was good for her people, I guess. They had to join the winners. Yeah. It's like when the Empire takes over the Senate. You have to join the good guys.
Except the Empire was the Senate, because the Senate was Palpatine, and Palpatine was the Empire.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I was playing,
He did say, and I quote,
I
am the Senate.
I've been playing, Fantasy Flight has a RPG system for Star Wars that I've been playing in. They have 3 systems, actually. It's Edge of the Empire, Age of Rebellion, Force and Destiny. And they're all the same system, but they're at the... they're different, power levels. Like, Edge of the Empire is, like, Scoundrels, Age of Rebellion is Rebels, and Force and Destiny is Jedi and stuff like that. And we've been playing Edge of the Empire. We've actually been playing since the beta. Actually, I really enjoy this system. So it's, you roll dice, but they're not numbered dice. They are success, advantage, failure, disadvantage. So like, you roll your skill against, and then you also roll the difficulty dice. And then just compare. If you have more successes than failures, you succeed. And then advantages or disadvantages modify the result in some way external of pass-fail. So, like, if you fire your gun and you succeed, so you hit them, and you get a bunch of advantages, you know, maybe you knock them off their feet, or, you know, you knock a barrel on, or, you know, you shoot at a barrel and, you know, maybe you got a bunch of successes, but also a bunch of disadvantages. So, like, you hit them, and then your gun jams. Or, you know, the recoil makes you drop your gun, or you fall over. Or, you know, you fail, so you didn't get enough successes, so you miss, but you get a bunch of advantages. So maybe you miss and you hit the wall next to them, but the flash of light briefly blinds them and lets you, like, escape. I think it's a pretty fun system for having, like, a rules-heavy system like D&D that also structurally allows for kind of narrative modification. Like, you ever play Burning Wheel?
No, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, so, it's similar like that, where the dice have a lot of control over the narrative, which I enjoy. I think that's the exact right thing for these sorts of games. Because, like, I'm not a huge... Like, I enjoy D&D, but I don't like to play it as much as some other systems, because there is a lot of just, like, strict hack-and-slash rules, which I get in a lot of other places, so I don't crave it as much. As much as I love D&D, I actually haven't played in a while. But I like the ones that kind of facilitate improv without requiring it, and, you know, knowing me, I do nothing but go off the rails. I am a force-sensitive mechanic who thinks droids are people. It's a good time. We have a doctor in our party who is... He's on drugs 100% of the time, and he has a special ability.
Wait, the guy is playing as a doctor, or no, he's a doctor
The doctor in-game is, like, on drugs 100%. So one of the systems is obligation. So you take, you get bonus experience at the start of the game, but you have this, like, meta obligation that will come up sometimes. So his is that he's an addict. And if his obligation comes up, he suffers a bunch of penalties for being a drug addict. And he has to, like, the story then has to deal with that. You know, it's like someone else's, they owe a bunch of money. So if their obligation comes up, then, you know, essentially, like, the bounty on his head is up. And people, you know, the people looking for him, you know, found him. And we have to deal with it. I think it's pretty fun. But so this guy, his, there's a skill on the doctor tree where you can, like, you can essentially give someone, like, a stim pack. It, like, boosts their skill for an encounter. So we've spent this entire, like, story just getting, like, just him constantly just injecting stims into us. Like, oh, quick, I need to fly the ship better. Just, you drug me up, Doc. So it's been a good time. You know, advocating drug use. It's a...
So one of the bad things about, you know, new big patch is usually you gotta update your add-ons, right?
You still use, like, add-ons? Usually...
Yeah.
What?
You don't?
I mean, I haven't played in a long time.
Like, I try to run as light as possible. You know, 2, maybe 3 add-ons. But, you know, I do like having a couple of them.
And so, like, what do you... I mean, didn't they include most of the good add-ons into the game? Like,
yeah, that's just it. Almost every single add-on, you know, is part of the base game now. I use, you know, one add-on for loot everything from your mailbox with one button. I use an add-on for...
You get that much, you know, mail? Actually, no, yeah. I also got that much mail. That's a good point.
The second thing I was going to say is the auction add-on, of course.
Oh, what does that let you do? Auction for anywhere?
No, the one that just lets you more easily scan the auction house and then look at stacks and buy from stacks.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, and then lastly... I like having my health bars right centered in the middle of the screen.
Oh, is that not... I thought they added that.
No, just everyone uses the same add-on for it. Because
Arc HUD?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's called Ice HUD now, but yeah, it's the same thing. And apparently, there is no way to do a new line character in the text. Because back in the day, how much health did you have? Maybe 5 characters worth of health? Well, now everyone has, like...
6 with, like, super buffs.
No, actually, it's 7 passively, 8 if you're a tank. Which means if you're seeing someone's health as a fraction, you're seeing, you know, either 15 characters or 17 characters. And if you're also targeting something, you're now looking at, like, 30-something characters. And I wanted to try to put that onto a new line, so you'd have current health divided by max health. Can't do that. A real shame.
Wait, how much health does your character have?
I have 3.7 million.
That's a lot.
It's actually not. Like, I don't actually play the game other than pet battles, so...
Well...
I have, like, really bad gear.
But, I mean, I remember having... I remember when 10,000 was the number, you know, the magic number.
You mean in Vanilla WoW? Oh, no, you didn't even get to 10,000 in Vanilla.
No, yeah, it was a Burning Crusade. 10,000 was the magic, like, you're ready for post-Karazhan tank raids.
Although by Sunwell, people had, like, 24k.
Yeah, oh, no, so. No, yeah, it got up there. But still, 24k to 3 million on a wizard.
Yeah.
Wizard. You know what's great, actually, talking about this? I still have no urge to play. I'm free.
That's good. That means
I'm clean.
You're finally free.
Yeah. I still have all my other addictions. As we were just discussing how I'm back into my Counter-Strike addiction. But yeah, there's nothing for me in WoW. Which, like, I know we've talked about this before, but really, like, MOBAs scratch exactly the thing I was looking for in WoW. Because WoW is never going to scratch that, like, the actual RPG element I wanted. But it was good for tanking and healing, which, you know, now you get in MOBAs.
It's Games Turning Home.